All right, so today we are going to dive deep into boat navigation tools. We've got a great article here from Durabright to help guide us, but we're going to go past just what the tools are. We're going to really try to figure out how they work, where they might fall short, and why having a multi-layered approach to navigation is so important for boat safety.
Yeah, and it's tempting to think with all of our, modern GPS and radar systems that all the old stuff is just kind of obsolete. But paper charts and compasses are still considered essential by a lot of captains. Why is that?
Yeah, it really makes you wonder. The Durabright article jumps right into that, starting with boat lights. Now, obviously, we all know lights are important for other boats to see you, but the article makes this point. They're just as important for the captain to see clearly, especially if conditions get rough.
Yeah, it's about being prepared for the unexpected, even if you're just planning a daytime trip. Fog can roll in, storms can pop up, conditions on the water can change like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And we all know those standard navigation lights. Red for port, green for starboard, the masthead light, and the stern light. But the article doesn't just list them. It goes into why knowing what those lights mean is so important.
Exactly. It's like a language out there. If you see a red light approaching, you know that boat is crossing from your left side and you need to react. You know those lights aren't just decoration. They prevent accidents.
That's a great way to put it. It's like communication, knowing that language could save lives. But here's where it gets really practical. It's not just about those standard lights, it's about customizing your boat's lighting to eliminate blind spots.
Yeah, think about it. Illuminating the deck, the helm, any areas that could be hazardous in low light, or if you have to move around quickly. It's about taking those extra steps to see everything you need to see, not just what the regulations require.
That makes a lot of sense. But let's shift gears for a minute. Talk about some of the classic tools, compasses, for example. Can you believe they've been around for over 2,000 years?
It's amazing.
And they're still so essential.
Right. And the article does a good job breaking down the different types between magnetic compasses, the reliable ones that don't need power, and then digital compasses, which offer incredible precision.
And you've got those marine binoculars with built-in compasses. Talk about efficient.
Yeah.
You're spotting something and getting your bearings all at once.
You're identifying landmarks, plotting courses, making adjustments to stay on track, all with one tool.
Okay, so we've got compasses, binoculars, but we can't talk navigation without mentioning the big one, GPS. I can't even imagine trying to navigate by the stars like they did before GPS.
Absolutely. Imagine the skill that took, to use celestial navigation, relying on landmarks and manually plotting your course. GPS really revolutionized boating, offering pinpoint accuracy and integration with all kinds of systems.
Hold on. The article makes a point of saying that even GPS isn't perfect.
You're right, and this is where things get interesting. What happens if your GPS malfunctions? What if you have a power outage? This is why those old school tools are still so important.
So paper charts aren't just relics of a bygone era.
Not at all. Think of them as your ultimate backup plan, something you can rely on even if all your electronics fail. Plus, they give you that big picture view that you might not get on a small screen. And some people just prefer that, that tactile experience of plotting a course by hand.
Yeah, I get that. It's like reading a paper book versus an e-reader. Sometimes you just want to hold the real thing. But honestly, who actually uses paper charts these days? Isn't that a little overkill?
You'd be surprised. Plenty of seasoned captains swear by them. There's a certain level of confidence that comes with knowing you can navigate even if your fancy gadgets go kaput.
Okay, I see your point. But let's move on to something a little more high-tech. Radar. The article talks about how it's really helpful in bad weather, right?
Exactly. Radar lets you see through fog, rain, and darkness. It can really help you avoid collisions with other boats or obstacles that you just can't see with the naked eye. It's a powerful tool, especially in low visibility conditions.
But there are different types of radar, right? The article mentioned something about open array and dome radar.
You got it. Dome radar is the smaller, enclosed type that you often see on sailboats. Open array radar is larger, more powerful, and generally found on larger vessels. Gives you better range and resolution, but also comes with a higher price tag.
So open array is like the deluxe version, but here's a thought. Isn't radar pretty much foolproof? Can't you just rely on that in bad weather?
Well, not quite. And this is something the article really emphasizes. Radar has its limitations. Think about it this way. Radar relies on bouncing signals off of objects. So things like heavy rain or even flocks of birds, they can create clutter on the screen, making it tough to figure out what's a real threat.
So it's not always a crystal clear picture.
Right, exactly. And then there's the issue of range and resolution. Open array radar is great for long range detection, but it might not pick up smaller objects, especially at close range. And even the best radar systems can have blind spots, particularly for things low in the water or right up close to the boat.
So even with radar, you can't just zone out and rely on the screen alone?
Definitely not. That's where having a good visual lookout is still essential. You need those human eyes to confirm what you're seeing on the radar and to spot anything the radar might miss.
That makes a lot of sense. Goes back to that layered approach we were talking about. But let's shift gears a bit. Talk about navigating what we can't see at all, what's going on beneath the surface. The article mentions depth sounders as a key tool for that.
Absolutely. Depth sounders are like having an extra set of eyes underwater. They use sonar to map the bottom, revealing submerged rocks, reefs, sudden drop-offs, things that could really ruin your day if you're not careful.
So it's not just about avoiding collisions with other boats. It's about knowing what's lurking beneath the surface.
Right. And think about navigating in unfamiliar waters or areas with strong tides and currents. The bottom can change constantly. And a depth sounder gives you that real-time information you need to make safe decisions.
I remember reading a story about a boater who relied solely on their GPS chart plotter, and they ended up running aground on a sandbar that wasn't shown on the electronic chart. A depth sounder could have prevented that whole mess.
Exactly. It's a perfect example of why relying on a single tool can be risky. You need that redundancy, that confirmation from different sources to really have a clear picture of your surroundings.
Okay, so we're seeing how depth sounders fit into this multi-layered approach. They're giving us information that GPS and radar can't provide. But what about navigating in low-light conditions or even complete darkness? The article mentions night vision and FLIR cameras.
Those are some really cool technologies that have become increasingly popular in recent years. Night vision cameras work by amplifying existing light, so they're great for low light situations, but not so much in pitch black.
So if there's no moon, no stars, no ambient light at all, night vision won't help much.
Not really. And that's where FLIR cameras come in. FLIR stands for forward-looking infrared, and they work by detecting heat signatures rather than the visible light.
Wait, so you can actually see through fog, smoke, even darkness using heat? That's incredible.
It's pretty amazing. FLIR is becoming an invaluable tool for all sorts of applications. Boaters use it for navigating in low visibility, spotting obstacles, and even locating people in the water.
Speaking of finding people in the water, the article mentioned how FLIR is used in search and rescue. It seems like that would be a game changer in those situations.
Absolutely. Imagine being able to scan the water and instantly detect body heat, even in rough seas or darkness. FLIR has made a huge difference in search and rescue operations, saving countless lives.
So we've got night vision for low light situations and FLIR for seeing through darkness and other visual obstructions. That's a pretty powerful combination.
It is, but remember, even these high-tech tools have limitations. Night vision needs some ambient light to work, and FLIR can be affected by things like direct sunlight or reflections off the water.
Right, there's that theme again. No single tool is perfect. You need to understand the strengths and weaknesses of each one. But let's talk about another piece of equipment that's critical, especially in emergencies: spotlights and floodlights.
Those are your go-to tools when you need to see something immediately and clearly. Imagine you're navigating a narrow channel at night and you spot something in the water ahead. You don't want to be fumbling with your chart plotters or radar settings at that moment. You need instant illumination.
So spotlights and floodlights are all about quick reaction time.
Exactly. They give you that burst of light you need to assess the situation and take action. Spotlights have a narrow, focused beam, great for long distances or pinpointing a specific object. Floodlights cast a wider beam, perfect for illuminating a larger area, like the deck of your boat or a section of shoreline.
And of course, we can't forget the good old-fashioned air horn.
Ah, yes, the air horn. It might seem low-tech compared to all these other gadgets, but it's still one of the most effective ways to signal your presence, warn other boats, or call for help in an emergency.
It's like having a loud voice that can cut through fog, wind, and engine noise. So, as we start to wrap up our deep dive here, it's clear that effective boat navigation isn't about relying on a single magic tool. It's about building a system, a multi-layered approach that combines traditional knowledge with modern technology.
Exactly. It's about having options, knowing your tools, and understanding their limitations. And it's about constantly assessing your surroundings and being prepared for the unexpected.
And one thing that really stands out is the importance of good lighting. not just for being seen by other boats, but for your own visibility and safety.
Absolutely. Good lighting lets you see what those other tools might miss. It helps you react quickly in emergencies, and ultimately it contributes significantly to a safer boating experience.
It really highlights how important a well-designed lighting setup is for any boat, no matter how basic or advanced the rest of your navigation tools are.
Yeah, and it's interesting how the article brings all this back to DuraBright's products.
Mm.
You know, they make a strong case for having a dynamic lighting approach, going beyond just the bare minimum required by regulations.
Yeah, I can see that. With so many types of lights available, spotlights, floodlights, navigation lights, courtesy lights. Choosing the right combination for your specific boat and the way you use it can feel kind of overwhelming.
It is. It's like anything else. Having some expert advice can make a huge difference. DuraBright actually encourages boaters to consult with them. Makes sense. It's like having a seasoned captain help you outfit your boat for maximum safety and visibility.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into boat navigation tools, I feel like we've charted a course for what it means to navigate safely and effectively. It's not about having the flashiest gadgets or relying on any one tool. It's about creating a system, a layered approach that blends traditional knowledge with modern technology, all while respecting the unpredictable nature of the water.
I couldn't agree more. We've journeyed from the ancient compass to cutting-edge FLIR cameras. And it's remarkable how each tool, whether centuries old or brand new, has its place, its strengths, and its weaknesses.
And it's that awareness of limitations, that respect for the sea, that ultimately makes for a skilled and responsible captain.
Absolutely. It's about using the right tool for the right situation, knowing when to trust your instincts, and always putting safety first.
Now, before we sign off, I want to leave you with a question to think about. With such a diverse range of tools available from the simple compass to sophisticated radar and night vision, how will you prioritize them for your specific boating needs and safety? What combination will give you the confidence and peace of mind to navigate any situation you might encounter out on the water?
It's a great question to consider. And if you found this deep dive helpful and want to keep the conversation going, we'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, experiences, or questions on our social media channels. Let's learn from each other and help make boating safer for everyone.
Until next time, fair winds and following seas.